Come on up. You're good. You're good. We're really excited to be introducing the people that are going to give the word today, and these are associate pastors, Clinton and Heather. So let's get them.
Yay. Hey, I'm going to grab you the blue mic so you can answer questions too.
Right, so we're going to get some microphones here, and then we have, you guys can be seated. We have a couple of fun questions that we're going to be asking them. And first, Heather, can you just sit down? I just want to make sure that we can see Heather from all the way in the back. Is this okay? Everybody's okay? Everybody can see her.
Does she need a phone book?
Because we could just lift up the table and put it on the stage here. Is everybody good? Can I get a thumbs up? I have no idea. I can't read your
faces.
Can
y'all see her?
All right, we're good. All right, okay. Okay, they're kind of, they're doing a, all right. Here we go, honey. You keep on sitting down. Yeah, we're doing this together. It's called together.
So when she says together, she means, Ricky, you stand here and I'll talk.
No. You're reading one and I'm reading one. Okay, ready?
Oh, okay, my turn. How long have you been married?
Oh, it was the first question.
He cheated. He asked me this morning and then said, that's probably going to be one of the questions. I was like, man. Go ahead. Do you remember?
It's 18 years.
It is 18 years.
Is it going to be 19 this year?
No, it's going to be 18 on the 25th.
You should have got me on that one. So forever I've said, people ask me about when our anniversary is, and I always tell them, somewhere between the 24th and the 26th of February. So on the 25th of February is our anniversary, and that will be 18 years to married.
Yeah. All right, what is one word that sums up your spouse? And we'll do Heather first. One word that sums up your spouse.
Let's see. There's Clinton.
Clinton?
Well, yes, Clinton. He's uniquely himself, so I could say he really is. Honestly, anybody that knows him knows you haven't met anybody like Clinton. I would say loving and compassionate.
One word.
Clinton. Clinton is the word. I have created a new one. Patent it. It goes in the dictionary.
Wow.
Don't start. Hey, at least I came up with something.
Firecracker.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, you said not to embarrass you, so.
Yes, don't.
She gave me a script this morning. She said, this is what you have to say. I was like, what?
These are your guidelines. Playing.
Anytime a couple gets up here, there's always a discussion beforehand. And when I say a discussion, I mean the wife telling you what you can and can't say.
He is 100% right. We totally did twice.
Which one?
Wisdom. Wendy Dean, did you say wisdom?
What's your spouse's best qualities?
Ooh, I start?
Yes, you can start.
Best quality. She's a super good,
super good. Did you hear that?
So she's really good at being a mom and wife and telling us how we need to live. She's just really good. She's very, very caring and loving. I guess those kind of go together, right?
Yeah.
So that would be it.
I'd say dedication and hardworking. Dedication and hardworking in every area, because it takes a lot of dedication and hard work to put
to
up with me.
All right, guys. What is your spouse's pet peeve or quirk? We don't want to start any fights, but...
No. I told Pastor Chelsea, I said, I'm really nervous. We didn't get these questions ahead of time, so they're like on the spot. Quirky.
What's
your quirks?
My pet peeve, what makes me upset?
Everything.
Everything?
Your fish tank gets algae.
Yes, his fish tank, when it gets even a spot of algae, like that is the only thing Clinton really takes time to clean in the house. I'm more concerned with the walls and the floors and the tables and the counters. Clinton's like, if my fish tank is dirty, it's like when your bed is dirty in your bedroom, everything else looks filthy. To me, I'm like, just get rid of it and we won't have that problem. But
for one, the fish tanks are in the entryway. And so
it's the first thing they see.
People see. and I want it to be clean so your house looks clean.
We're not trying to start a fight or a
beautiful
discussion. Moving along.
Okay.
What's your pet? She tells me all the time, will you stop doing that? I hate that. And I can't remember. See, this is why I always do it.
Oh, goodness.
I'll circle back to that one next time I do it. I'll tell
you. We'll probably find out sometime
in an
today.
Opening. Probably sometime today.
Yeah, sometime today.
Brother Clint, what's the color of your wife's eyes? Chelsea told me to ask that.
That's messed up.
There's a story with that.
So they're, depending on her mood, they're like mood rings. So they're ever changing.
What are they right now?
I haven't looked at them today.
No.
You're wearing a blue dress, and you look good.
Don't skirt the subject.
Oh, she does hate my eyebrows, but Leslie fixed them, so thank you.
No, it is a pet peeve. It is a pet peeve. Guys, listen, you should have eyelids and eyebrows, not one coinciding with the other.
All right, here's another. What's the most spontaneous thing you've ever done?
Don't embarrass me.
I don't do spontaneity.
We did steal his dad's car and drove out to Arizona one time without telling him. So it really was, we were borrowing it. So he said, hey, we'll go cross country. Let's go.
Okay,
cross country is like, it's 4 hours away from California.
What advice would you give new marriages?
Oh, go ahead and just work through it. Like, for real, you're going to be mad at each other. Often, because you're, so if you do it right, how come there's barely any youth in here? All right.
Because they know what we're going to talk about.
We got these guys over here, and we'll focus on them. So here's the thing. One day you'll get married, and be a good husband, and be understanding, and you're going to get mad at your spouse, and they're going to get mad at you. But you work through it. And Heather and I have, we've come from a lot of things that have happened in our lives. We came from a point where we weren't serving God. And it is so much funnier on the other side. Most of the things we've been through, I say most because not all of them, some of them can be touchy. We've forgiven each other, but moreover, she's forgiven me. But the reality is that, if you'll get through it, it's worth the push. It's worth the struggle. Because once you're on the flip side of those things, you'll be able to look back and say, we made it through that. You'll laugh at some of those things. You'll cry at some of those things. But it's really a matter of making it through and really sticking to it. You married the person. Get through it. It's going to be fine.
I would say you get as much as you put into it. If you are not willing to put much into it and take the other person into account, then you're not going to get much out of it. And not only that, when you get married, when you first start dating, which Clinton and I, most people don't know because, and I'm not going to get into that, but yes, Clinton and I have been together since we were kids, and we were actually engaged before we had Gabriel. So most people, we like to joke about it, oh, you know, we had Gabriel young. But we were actually engaged ahead of time. I knew what I was getting into. Folks, you know what you're getting into when you start, so you can't get married, and then a week later, and you start living together and be like, ooh, you can take him back. It doesn't work that way. You have to work through it. It is a constant process because people are growing, people are learning, and as a married couple, it is your job to grow and learn together. Like I said, Clinton and I have been together for 18 years, but we've been together for over 23, or we've been married 18 years. We've been together almost over 23. You know, you learn a lot, and I would say look at the people before you and their relationships and couples that have been together a long time and learn from it. And the most important thing is always ask God what you should be doing in a situation where you do not like your spouse. Because it's going to happen. They are the complete opposite of you. Look at Clinton and I. We are not two peas in a pod. We are like, no.
I said this morning that
she's a little bit country and I'm a little bit stay at home. And what I mean by that is she doesn't mind going out and playing in the dirt and going out and doing adventures and stuff like that. Playing in the dirt, like going to the mountains, that's not my thing.
Right? That's being in the wilderness.
Being in the wilderness, I'm sorry. But I'm not that way. I've never been that way. I'm pretty sure if my parents... We only went camping a couple times, but I probably complained for the first part of it. I can almost guarantee you. Mom can verify later, but I've just never been an outdoorsy kind of guy. So she is a little bit country, and I'm a little bit stay-at-home. So, yeah. You ready to start this thing?
Yes.
All right. You want to pray? You want me
Go
to
ahead.
Pray? Go ahead. That's my job. All right. Father, we thank you so much for this time to open your word, Lord God, and learn about what you would have to say about love, Lord. In particular, in the beginning in marriage, but also the special message that you've given us for those that are single right now, or younger and single, or maybe they have girlfriends or whatever, or boyfriends. Lord God, we just ask that you just... not let this be us speaking, but just you speaking through us, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody agreed, said?
Amen.
Amen. So, because Lisa was nice enough to share with us last week that a certain person thinks that Valentine's Day is just a made-up holiday, and we really wanted this to be something that spoke to everybody, we're going to talk, and Friday, I don't know if you know this or not, was National Pizza Day.
Yes.
So... we're going to talk about God's love as like how it is relates to pizza. All right?
That was just for you, Larry.
That was just
for you,
Larry. He wanted
to show you some support.
So today's text, if you would, Ephesians 5, 21 through 33. In reading this, I liked it out of the Message Bible. Heather, we are not the same. For many reasons, she's a lady, I'm a dude. She likes it out of the Amplified, but I thought the Message was better, and you know that means we're going to read the Amplified. No, I'm just joking. I am going to read the Message because it just is awesome. And verse 21 says, out of respect for Christ, be courteously reverent to one another. Wives, understand and support your husbands in ways that show your support for Christ. The husband provides leadership to his wife the way Christ does to his church, not by domineering, but by cherishing. So just as the church submits to Christ as he exercises such leadership, wives should likewise submit to their husbands. And guys, no joke, this is where we stop. We're like, right there, wife. It says, submit to your husband. I'm the man of the house. This is my job. Get in your place, right? I'll get back to that. Continuing, husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church. A love marked by giving, not getting. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. God bless you. And that is how husbands ought to love their wives. They're really doing themselves a favor since they're already one in marriage. No one abuses his own body, does he? No, he feeds it, pampers it. That's how Christ treats us, the church, since we are part of his body. And this is why a man leaves his father and mother and cherishes his wife. No longer two, they become one flesh. So, I'm serious, and I'm going to go, Heather's going to go in just a second, and then I'll talk about our part. But guys, we approach this scripture the same way we approach building a brand new coffee table. We look at the picture, we read what parts are supposed to be there, and then we kind of just put the directions aside. At least that's how I was. I built a lot of furniture working where I used to work. Every day I built coffee tables. And even a coffee table that I had built 100 times before, I'd be, I know this one. And you put it together, and then you go to put the glass in on top of it, and the glass just falls through. And you're like, what happened? I built this a dozen times. And it's because we stop in the middle. We don't pay attention to all of the instructions all of the time. And you could attribute that to women too, but guys, we have a propensity to do that, right? And so we need to make sure that we're listening to everything, not just the first part. And so before I get too much into that and digging deep, we're going to let Heather go.
Okay.
Do you remember what you're supposed to do? Because you told me.
Yes.
I'm just joking.
It's your job to back me up. Shh.
Yes, ma'am.
So as I was studying again last night, something that we went to camp meeting in Oklahoma with Dr. Edwards' church, and I don't know why this popped up, but then God clarified it to me a little bit. When people read this part of the Bible and it talks about marriage and relationship and how you're supposed to treat one another, they want to put their own opinion on it. They want to say, well, this is what I got from it, and I don't need to do this part because I don't want to. It's really a selfish reaction of you being stubborn. Seriously, it's really being stubborn. And so this came out to me, and, you know, I was studying on love, but this popped out again in my notes, and it said, the word was spoken. This is what Dr. Edwards got. The word was spoken so it could be written. But it was written so it could be spoken. But if you take that and apply it to the fact that it's also meant to be read, his word doesn't change. So you being opinionated on what he is saying is not doing you any favors. And I say that ahead of time because women can tend to be touchy. I am a woman. I know this. I deal with Clinton. I love you. But it does come up often.
How touchy you are?
Yes. And so reading Ephesians, no, what were we reading? Yes, we were.
You're going to read Ephesians 5, 22 through 24.
And this is why I instructed him last night. So when I get up here, he can help me. All right, in the Amplified. Is that my password? Yeah. This is why he's my helper, because I don't remember any of my passwords. And he likes to change them. Wives, be subject to your own husbands. And in my notes, and God really spoke this to me, it says your own husband. And I was studying out some different things, and why is your husband there? Because the devil likes to creep and cause division between marriages, and that is why it is your own husband. You have no business submitting to anybody else's. And this is why I said the word was meant to be read, because I don't want to offend anybody here.
Get it, girl.
That's why I love Pastor Sally. She's my special person. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, he himself being the savior of the body. Your husband is not your savior. He's not your source. He is the person that God put beside you that you chose willingly to go to. So stop looking to him as your source and start looking to him at what he was meant to be. The church is subject to Christ, so wives also should be subject to their husbands in everything. And this is why I liked the Amplified. Respecting both their position as a protector and their responsibility to God as the head of the house.
Head of the house. Sorry.
See, touchy. No, seriously, I have a question for you. Who did God create first out of mankind? Adam. And what did he give Adam? There's a certain word. Authority. He gave him authority over everything, correct? And then he wanted to bless him with someone to be with him forever. Did his authority change when Eve came?
No.
So should his authority change just because you are there?
No.
God gave Adam responsibility over his wife. And in here I wrote, because I wanted to be able to explain, what does submission mean? Oftentimes women hear the word submission, and nowadays it does look different than it did a long time ago, honestly, if I looked at the way it was for my grandmother versus how you hear it out in the world today. It can be a scary word for some women and also some men. You hear it and it instantly brings fear. In this case, that's not what submission is. It's not he has power over you and every decision you make is his. No, you are helpmates to each other. And I was reading an article on how is the best way to explain it to a woman, because there are people who have been hurt and you want to explain it in a soft way so that they can still get the fact that this is something, women, that we are required to do for God. Let me see if I can find where it is.
You didn't put little, like, marks?
No, I write pages of notes. Yes.
Oh, okay, never mind.
This is my first time, y'all. Submission, and if you're going to look it up in the Webster Dictionary, just be prepared. There may be some things there that we're not talking about today. It gets kind of weird when you look up that word. A wife making a conscious decision to overtly resist her husband is going against him. That's not what it was supposed to say. Submission does not imply an inherent inferiority. Christ has a status, right? Jesus is important. But he also submits himself to the Father. There's a responsibility there. Wives submitting to your husband is basically stepping out of your own way. And because we over time, as women have become more prominent to be single mothers and be out in the world by ourselves, we have let independence keep us from what God has in our life. We're so focused on, I can do this without you, that we forget that when you get married, you are one. So in submitting, you are setting aside your selfishness and saying, I'm going to respect, honor the responsibility that God put on my husband. Because ultimately, what goes on in your household, God's going to ask him, what'd you do with this? And then he's going to ask the wife, well, why didn't you help him? Where were you when he was going through this? Where were you in his struggle? What were you doing? And we don't have an excuse. We can't say, oh, well, we take care of the kids all the time, because that's not the situation anymore. Women work. And we do take care of the kids. But our husbands have also helped us along that way, because they work hard. They come home. And then, I mean, I don't know about y'all, but there's times where I had my kids, because my boys are less than a year apart. So I had them young, really young. And so they're almost like twins. And they like to do this thing where one would take off in the other direction and the other one would go that way, to think that I wouldn't catch one of them when they needed a pow-pow. Then God created a really long spoon and I could get to them really quick. But then what happens is your husband comes home, he's been working hard. And at that time I was not working. My full-time job was to take care of the kids. And what does he get? Do you know what your kids did today? Do you have any idea what I have been through? Your children are just like you. Which in my case is true. If you've met any of my kids, they are just like their father. And so instead of being, babe, how was your day today? Is there anything I can do for you? And likewise, your husbands will do the same. See, Clinton every morning makes my coffee. I joke about, you know, he cleans his fish tanks more than anything, but it's mainly because, and Miss Tiana can account to this, if you don't clean it right, I would rather do it myself, because I do not have the time to explain to you how you did it wrong. I would just like to move on in the situation and remain married. Because like he said, he's going to forget, and that is one of my pet peeves is how people clean things, because I'm like, I could see what you don't. Miss Tiana understands me. Our job is to be the strength of his weakness. That is why, usually, the husband and the wife, though they may have things in common, are completely different. God gave you somebody that could be the strength in your weakness. You need to understand that in your husbands and allow them to be husbands. You need to allow them to be the opposite of what you are and not constantly saying, well, I can do this without you. I've got news for you. You can. God can bless you whether you are married, single, or widowed. He's already told you that. Why are you trying to prove it in your marriage? Yeah.
Amen.
It's time for us to take back what submitting to your husband means from the world and understanding that it is the level of respect for the responsibility placed on his shoulders. It is not easy to deal with women. You may not like that. We can... That's why I have one daughter. Honestly, I did not want a second daughter. I loved my daughter. We stopped there. And then, you know, not only do I have obviously a daughter, but she acts just like her father.
So it's worse. No.
It helps you adjust. When your children are like their dad or their mom, you learn to adjust to your spouse really quick.
All right.
Go ahead.
You good? Okay.
Yeah, I'm good.
That's so funny. I seriously am worried about the pet peeve because I know I'm going to do it when I get home. It has something
to do with
the living
room. He'll probably do it on the way home. Oh, I know what it is. And I was thinking about it last night. I am going to tell you. Okay, guys, I don't know why you do this.
Which one? I had to say which. What? Let me get a list going.
I think it was Starla, Tiana, and I. We were discussing this. There is no reason why. Okay, we are not Hansel and Gretel. You do not need to leave a trail of your clothes from the living room to the bedroom to try to find your way back to where you're going.
That's funny.
And throw it right next to the hamper. Or right in the middle of the bathroom. Like, why? You know, there's nothing there.
I fixed that. I have multiple hampers.
No, you guys should see him. He gets so mad because I cleaned my closet, and now there's space for his shoes. I do have a lot of shoes, but I made space for his shoes, and now he gets mad because he can't leave them in the living room. And so last night we get home, and he's carrying two pairs of shoes out of the living room.
I wore them both yesterday, and I was in a hurry. Come on now. So, it's funny, the reason we split that up is because Heather is very, very good at explaining, it's not so much that she's good, but she has a realistic idea of what it's like to deal with her and what men go through dealing with their wives, because it's hard. And I didn't want to sit up here and teach on this lesson and be like, women submit, right? Because it's kind of disingenuous, right, to tell a woman what it is that they need to do.
Amen.
So I was like, Heather can do that. But that also leads to the fact that now, guys, I'm going to speak to you. Without any pulling any punches, without being putting on kid gloves, because we're men and we need to hear this. So I'm reading back out of the message. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church, a love marked by giving, not getting. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness, and that is how husbands ought to love their wives. And they're really doing themselves a favor since they're already one in marriage. So a couple things jumped out just right off the page, and it's really why I liked the message as opposed to the Amplified. I think the Amplified gives more of focuses more on what the woman's supposed to do. The message kind of really puts emphasis on what the man's supposed to do. All out in your love, just like Jesus. That's the first thing that hit me. I mean, it's the first on the list. But there's something lackadaisy about love these days, right? You could attribute it to both parties working, whatever you want. You can make an excuse for anything. But you need to step up your love game. You need to go all out. Go that extra mile. Pastor Ricky, when we hang out a bit, and Pastor Ricky gets flowers for Pastor Chelsea frequently, does a lot of things just extra. And it doesn't have to be Valentine's Day or their anniversary or whatever. It doesn't have to be your birthday. And so just the other day, I was at the salon. I think it was when I was getting my hair cut. And here he comes with flowers, right? And so he goes all out in his love for her, in showing that. And honestly, if your wife has to wait for Valentine's Day or some special occasion to feel love, you're missing it. And then you're all up in arms like, I don't understand why she won't be friendly, if you know what I mean, right? And that, I mean, I'm not saying that you gotta, like, just know, you got to go all out in your love. What you giggling about? Going back and forth. You know, marked by giving, not getting. Now, you can, in a marriage, you, Heather, so, gosh, it's so hard to admit to things, but so,
Who are you admitting for, me or you?
Me, I'm admitting to me.
I was just making sure for a second.
And this is terrible, right? Because I always have, I don't want to say it that way. There's always like an angle, right? I'm going to do this for this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to act this way for this way to be me to be treated this way. And so deep down inside, if you get past all the it's manipulation, mm-hmm. right? We need not be manipulative. And this is a clear mark of that. Giving, not getting, right? Heather always brings it up that the Bible says that manipulation is the same as witchcraft, and she says that because it gets under my skin. I'm so much better than I was, especially when we first started. There was always an angle. There was always a way for me to make something out of it. That's why I guess I was a good banker.
Don't tell people that.
But it's true. So you gotta you can't always give to get. So yes, get her flowers, not because you want friendliness, but because you really adore your wife. You really want her to feel loved, right? And we need to do that as men. We need to always be going out of our way. We need to always be doing that extra. Because it's really what's going to make those relationships stronger. It's going to make you her feel like you're genuinely caring for her. When it's not just, hey, I did this for you, you should do this for me. Now sometimes, like the iPad. I bought her this iPad, not wanting anything in return. But because she had grown accustomed to a certain way that I was, there was always, she's like, so when's it arrive? I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, the new fish tank. I was like, it's not about that. I love you, Tuesday afternoon. And so I didn't actually buy a fish tank that time. But that's what we need to watch out for. We need to make sure that we're giving from our heart, not just from our motives. Yeah, amen. Somebody write that one down.
You got a pen?
I don't have a pen. His words evoke her beauty. How are you talking to your wife? How are you talking about your wife? How are you speaking over your wife? What you are doing, saying and believing about your wife isn't bringing out the best in her, if how you're treating, speaking to, and believing for your wife isn't evoking her beauty, you're missing it. The things we say, the things we believe, the things we do to, for, about, and over our wife, they have to be those things that bring out the best in her. If every time you come home, and you get to your home duties, right? Whatever that looks like. If all you're getting is nastiness and bitterness, I'm not saying that your wife isn't difficult. All right? I get that. But examine yourselves.
Yeah.
A lot of us pack it away, but maybe it's something that you might have said. Maybe it's something that you might have done. I get that. It's not always the man's fault. This isn't to say it's always the man's fault what's happening. What this is to say, instead of automatically saying, my wife is just hard to be around, she's always angry, she's always bitter, or she's never friendly, see what you're doing. What are you speaking over your wife? The last time, you know, words matter.
Yes, they do.
The last time that, maybe the night before, you didn't agree with something, and you didn't say it directly to her face because you don't want to get, you know, cut in my, you know. But maybe you walked away and you mumbled something under your breath. But you put life to those words and those thoughts. She's always just so mean when I get home. And the next day, you get blasted. Well, you brought that on yourself.
Yeah.
Spend time speaking over your wives.
Yes.
You've got to. Praying over your wife, the same as you pray over your children.
Yes.
I hope if you've got kids, if you've had kids or whatever, that you spoke into their lives, spoke over their lives, prayed over them, prayed for good husbands,
yeah.
prayed for good wives,
yeah.
prayed for success,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
not just beating the drum of go to college,
yeah.
Yeah.
but beating the drum of and praying over them and saying, hey, God, take care of my kids, make them successful as they grow, lead them in the way they should be, lead them in the way they should go, lead them in what they should do. That's that's the big thing. Guys, sometimes we miss it. It's not always our fault. But we have something to speak for.
Yeah.
The way you handled your family
mm-hmm.
is on you.
Yeah.
The way you handled the raising of your kids, it's on you.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how they turn out. So make sure you're taking care of those things. Did you want to add anything to the back end of that one?
I would just say that everything he's explaining, likewise, is for wives.
Yes.
You should be praying for your husbands every day.
Yeah.
And I do joke, you know, because they've got to put up with you. But seriously, you will get what you put into it.
Amen.
If you're wanting a husband that has lots of money because you want all these expensive things, but you don't go to work, what are you praying for? What are you speaking into his life? Success? Or are you just sitting on the couch complaining because he doesn't make enough money for you? We do have agreements between relationships. Clinton and I, we've had to learn this over the years because when we were younger, I did grow up in a rough time. So I would not allow him to have any say in my children's lives. You were a part-time dad. Whether you were there all the time or not, you don't get to punish them. You don't get to discipline them. And you don't get to make the rules for them. I do. Because I'm not going to let them grow up like you, and I'm not going to let them grow up like I did. And because of that, I missed out a lot. Because I didn't get saved until I was 26 years old. We've been together for 23 years. There's a lot of times that I did not pray for my husband. And he can joke and say, you know, some of the reasons in the hard times were because of things that he did, but I was not helping. I was not praying for my husband. I was expecting, and putting nothing towards it except what I was willing to give of myself. If you want a lot from your husband, you got to be willing to give a lot.
Amen.
There are going to be times when you struggle. That is why God is there. That is why you put God in your marriage. That is why God is the head of it. Because he's who you're going to need to fix your relationship. Stop looking to your husband to constantly fix the things in your relationship. Sometimes we got to do it ourselves and ask God. We've got to put aside our stubborn, selfish pride and go, okay, Lord, what did I do?
Yeah.
So everything he says, everything basically that we both have said, that's why that scripture is all the way together. That's why it talks about the husband and the wife together, because it coincides.
Amen.
These are the things that you are supposed to be doing in your relationship for God to bless it.
Amen.
Amen. So over and over it says to do things as Christ does and be like Christ in your relationships and in your love and things like that. So what does Christ's love look like? We have the perfect example, and Heather's going to read from it. It's actually the scriptures I was trying to stay away from for this particular message, because everybody, it's easy to get after, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, right? Mm-hmm. That's easy. But let's have a real conversation on what we should be doing, not, you know, love is kind, and all that foofy stuff, right? But the first thing that comes to me when I ask God, what does your love look like outside of the context of 1 Corinthians? And it's Matthew 11, 28 and 29. It's actually 28 through 30. And I'm you can put that up in whatever translation, King James, New King James. I'm going to read it out of the Modern English. It says, it's simple as this: come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Yeah. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As as a husband and wife and singles and everybody else, you know, singles and youth and even widows and widowers, if this is the picture of God's love, if you took a snapshot, stop trying to do it on your own. Find somebody that'll help you live this and will do this for you. As a husband, I would hope that if Heather had a burden that she just needed help with, that she would not be afraid to come to me and ask for help for anything beyond laundry, you know? But there's those tough times, and we can compartmentalize and we can shut away. And wife goes, "What's wrong?" "Nothing. Everything's okay."
Tell your face.
Yeah. But they know there's something inside of them. They're programmed to know what's going on. And we should be the same way. We should be just as sensitive to that. And so let them help you. Let them carry that burden. And the cool thing is in a Christian home, neither of you are carrying it alone. You share with one another, and then you both take it to God in prayer. And when you do that, He takes it from, not just from you, the person who originated it, but He takes it from the family. He takes it off of that couple. He takes it off that relationship, so it won't affect your relationship. And that's super huge. Money's a big thing. More divorces are because of money than any other thing. And it's because when money is tight and you're the breadwinner, maybe you hunker down and you don't want to share that burden with your wife. But if you're not in agreement, you really can't take it to God.
Amen.
And you need to be able to take those things to God. Yeah. So I'm going to let Heather do the foofy part and read through the love thing.
It's not foofy.
It is foofy. It's all lovey-dovey.
Which I think is ironic, because out of the two of us, I don't know, how many of you have ever taken, the five love languages test? Okay, if you have not taken it, look it up online. You can find the questions and you can find the answer key. And there's five different languages of love. I can't remember what they all are. Affirmation, which is the lovey-dovey part, going, "Oh, I love you, you're so great." Gift-giving,
touch.
Acts of service. You can tell who all has taken this.
We've got four of them.
Yeah, there's one more. Gifts. Yes. So Clinton and I were completely opposite. Completely opposite. He is more of the words of affirmation. So I'm not trying to embarrass you. There's nothing wrong with that. But
the lovey-dovey guy.
He is. He's the one. He wants me to say these things to him, but it's, I'm not going to lie, it's really hard because that's not my personality. I'm not like, "Oh, I love you so much. Thank you for all you did. You're so amazing." Which he is. Like I said, Clinton is unique. He is uniquely mine. And he's everything that I need. But yeah, that's not me. I'm more the work and the acts of service and gifts. His was, weren't you empathy? No, empathy was like your complete opposite. Either way, he's the lovey-dovey one. So
I
the fact that he doesn't.
I got empathy on my test at work. And you laughed at me.
There is a difference between empathy and compassion. You are very compassionate, not so much empathetic. But we're working on you. We're getting along.
Speaking those nice things over me.
Yes, yeah, so he's doing great. He's
Will
learning
you
it.
Read? I'm just joking.
1 Corinthians 13:4. See, he's going to hear about this when we get home. This is my first time. How dare you?
It's
so 1 Corinthians 13:4 in the Amplified, please. Love endures with patience and serenity. Love is kind and thoughtful. It is not jealous or envious. Love does not brag, and it is not proud or arrogant. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not provoked, and this is why I liked the Amplified, nor overly sensitive and easily angered. It does not take into account a wrong endured. That means wrong against you. It does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices with the truth. When right and truth prevail. If you think you're right and you're not right, it's not going to be rejoiced at. So when you're in a relationship and you're like, I'm always right. I'm not always right. Most of the time, I'm always right. But there are times when I am not right and I have to be like, all right, you were right. And then he does this, say it again. No, I'm not going to say it again. You were right. We got it. Love bears all things, regardless of what comes. Believes all things, looking for the best in each other. Hopes all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times. And endures all things without weakening.
Amen.
Now, when I was praying about this, I actually taught this on Wednesday to the kids, and I asked them a very important question. If I was to ask you, what is love? What is it? What would you tell me?
Pastor Ricky, what is love?
It's a trick question. It is a trick question. Because oftentimes we don't think about this part. God is love. The enduring, the kindness, the gentleness, that is God. So if you were to change this verse and you said, God endures with patience and serenity. God is kind. And God is thoughtful. God is not jealous or envious. God does not brag and is not proud or arrogant. He is not rude or self-seeking. Is not provoked. If you were to go through and replace love with God, you would have your answer of what you're supposed to be doing. Because we are made in the image of God.
Amen.
So we were already given these abilities. It's just whether or not we're willing to practice them.
Amen.
And then as I continued to speak to the kids about it, it was really cute, Brittany. I wish you would have been there because I asked the kids that question, what is God? And Zeke comes up to me, or what is love? And Zeke comes up to me and goes, when I give mommy and daddy kisses. And so I had to explain to them, no, that's the action of love. There is, God is love. Then there's the action of love. That is taking all these things and practicing them, putting them out there. With your spouse, but not just in your marriages, with your children, with your friends, with your family, and the people in the outside world, even who you do not like. That is who God is. Those are the characteristics of God. So what is the fruit of love? Well, God revealed this to me, and I thought it was awesome. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Everything in the fruit of the Spirit is right here in this description of the love of God. So if you are doing what God tells you to do, if you are loving people, then you will bear the fruit of what God is.
Amen.
And if you will take that into your marriages and into your relationships, outside relationships, you will find that it's a lot easier to get along with people. And then I said, well, God, because that's how I talk to him, well, God, how do we step out of that? Because I know that sometimes I am not the most patient person. I will love Clinton, and I will tell him, I love you so much, and I appreciate you. But seriously, at 2 o'clock in the morning when he rolls over and snores in my ear, I'm like, Lord, please take him back. So in long suffering, which is what patience is, sometimes I lose it. You know, it is the work in progress. And then I have to repent in the morning when he brings me my coffee, because honestly, I don't get out of bed until my coffee is made. And he is gracious enough to do that, because I don't know if it's because he doesn't want to deal with me until I've had it. But he is. He's loving enough to get up and go, okay, you know what? I know I kept her up all night with my snoring and my twitching and my bouncing around. That I'm going to make her.
Tell me how you really feel. Goodness.
Seriously. These are the things that we argue about. They're so dumb, like stealing the blankets. I tell you, he steals. Okay, I have a lot of pillows. How many women love pillows? Okay, when we first got together, I had 20 pillows on my bed. 20. And there's a reason why, because Clinton likes to do this thing where he slides, you know, he's trying to be nice and romantic, and he slides his hand under my pillow when he goes to lay down, thinking, oh, you can rest on my shoulder, babe, you're good. No, then he yanks it out from under my head, rolls over, and throws it on the floor. Now, this is something he is unconsciously doing, so I could just imagine what it would be like if he was awake. And because I have long hair, ladies, that can be dangerous. So now we only have 4 pillows. He gets his, I get mine, and you stay on your side of the bed.
Take, guys, you're welcome. She just gave you the answer.
But
to get rid of those pillows.
So I asked God, I said, well, how do we step out of the fruit of God, basically? How do we step out of love? And what is the opposite of it? A lot of the times, if I asked you what is the opposite of love, you would tell me hate. It's not. It's anger. Because love, ultimately, all these things are an emotion and a feeling and something that we portray to the world. When we are not loving people, we're usually mad. The first step out of love, God told me, is anger. Because Clinton and I, there was a time where we were going to get divorced. Why? Because I was mad at something he did. Flat out, that's all it was. I can't even remember to this day what it was. But I know I was mad enough to pack up my kids and leave. I mean, I remember a little bit. But not the details. So, yeah, it's all coming back to me now. We'll move on. Because we want to remain, we want to remain married. But how often do you get mad at your spouse? Clinton, seriously, he has. That's why I like his eyebrows fixed, because he doesn't look mad. Like
my eyebrows are jacked up before
first. Leslie's going over there, going. They really were
bad.
I call them caterpillars, but I don't want them crawling on me, so you gotta get them fixed.
Leslie charged me twice. No, I'm just joking. She didn't actually do that. She could have, though. She'd be like, I haven't seen eyebrows like this since Lemony Snicket's. If y'all watched that movie, you would understand. But.
And just think of your grandpa back in the 20s. They curl up.
All right.
But he loves me enough that he gets them fixed.
Are you done now?
No.
Nope. Okay, continue.
You got to ask yourself, why am I getting mad? Because you were blessed with the unique ability to know your spouse's tells, what's going to make them mad? What irritates them? You know these things before you do them. How sensitive are they going to be to a situation that I'm about to step into? Because to be honest, there's times where Clinton has made me mad, and I did something he didn't like simply to make him more mad than I was. Because then we were on even footing. And instead of being on even footing in love, we were on even footing in being mad. And that will split your relationship quicker than anything else.
Man, you did that?
Mm-hmm.
So mean.
I don't do it anymore.
You know that manipulation is witchcraft.
Yes, it was. How do you think I know to tell you these things?
Go ahead.
Now I lost track. See, this is what happens. They talk while we're talking and constantly interrupting us. No, but seriously, you already know what's going to make your spouse mad. Why are you doing it? And I say this to myself a lot. And then there's times where, you know, I have learned over the years, and God has revealed this to me, because there's a lot of times during OSL and it says you're supposed to pray for something. You're supposed to ask for wisdom from God for something. Mine, almost every single time I took OSL, was how do I treat my husband better? Because I can see what I'm doing. Yes, he may have done things that made me bad, but I could see what I was doing, and I could see how I was reacting to it. And he told me, step back and be patient in your response. So when Clinton makes me mad and he asks me, which annoys me when you ask me why I'm mad, because, you know, you should already know. I say, he'll ask me, are you upset? Yes. Yes, I am. Give me a minute. I will get over it. And I have to tell myself that every time I get upset, because I know if I don't take the time to think the situation through, my reaction is going to be angry. And I'm a very tiny, quiet person, but when I'm mad, I'm not so tiny or quiet anymore. And I don't want that to feed into my relationship, because I am raising children. My boys are adults now. And God told me to look at it as, the way you treat your husband is the way that your daughter will treat hers. The way that he treats me is the way that my sons will treat their wives. And I know myself, if my sons mistreated their wives or vice versa with Ireland, mom's going to be at your house. I'm going to say something to you, but a lot of that responsibility lies on me. You know, I'm raising not just sons, I'm raising husbands, godly husbands. My boys will be godly husbands and know everything in here of how to get through their relationship and how to put God into it. And I am raising a wife, and she will know how to be treated and how to respect her husband.
Amen. That's perfect. A good segue. So I said that Una is praying. We really wanted to not leave out singles, widows, youth in today. Because it usually on like Valentine's Day, there is this deal where it's like we talk just about the relationships, right? We speak directly to couples. But so first I'm going to cover the youth and singles. Would you put up 2 Timothy 2:20 and 22 or 20 through 22? We're going to read that. Please and thank you. You're the best. 20. It's 2:20 is where we'll start. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Next. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. One more. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So be honorable. Those of you that are seeking a loved one. But you also have to be honorable and look for honor, and be honoring. This really talks about not giving yourself up to just lust, you know, doing things that you shouldn't when you ain't married. Because if you give away if you give it away, it loses its value. Without getting too graphic with that. Don't get pushed into things because of the way the world is. It's okay to wait. Amen. It's best to wait. Amen. It's okay to be honoring to somebody. And remember this. The kind of wife or husband that you want, you're going to want to treat the person you're courting that way. If you want, what's a good way to say? I'm trying not to be too
rough with it, but you don't want some cheap person, right? If you
someone
let me put it.
Someone that doesn't value you.
Yeah. If they don't value themselves, they can't value you.
Amen.
And so, and if they don't, if they won't value themselves, you can't really value them. I mean,
yeah.
you gotta really think about that. You gotta put those things first, right? Mm-hmm. So be honorable and be honoring when you're dealing with that. Proverbs 31:10. The whole Proverbs 31 is amazing. It's just speaking about a virtuous wife. And 10 just says, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. Guys, seek, and girls, seek virtue and be virtuous. Mm-hmm. You have to be better, always being better, always getting better, always doing better. And really the only way to grow beyond what the world calls virtuous is to spend time in the Word.
That's right.
Yeah. Get here, be in church, be alert, be paying attention. Amen. 2 Corinthians 6:14, it's simple as this. It's don't be unequally yoked.
Mm-hmm.
Those of you that are single, looking for somebody, don't mess with somebody that's an unbeliever. Simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
The marriage is going to be, or your relationship is going to struggle. You're not going to see eye to eye. And it's going to be very difficult to make it through. Heather and I, when we got together, we've kind of beat all the odds, right? We were very young parents. We came from the inner city. We really are statistical anomalies.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, it's the reason is because of God. We both made a decision to seek and serve God. Because if we hadn't, we wouldn't be together. There's no way that we would. We are both too different of people, and both too angry, and both too
stubborn
for this to have worked without God. So being that we have God in our lives, being that we sought God, it's really has, that's what's gotten us to where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
In the things that we're doing. I can't even imagine where my life would be without God. And I couldn't imagine where my life would be without Heather.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she really does. I mean, she brings out the best in me.
Yeah, vice versa.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Words of affirmation, babe.
Cha-ching! And then, for, man, my wife's right here, but this is hard. For those of you that have loved and that have lost their loves, they've gone before you into glory. You know, James 1:27 says that the only true and undefiled religion is the care of widows and orphans. God loves you so much so that your care and your well-being are the only thing that he considers true and undefiled religion. So don't think that when we talk about love that you are missed out on in any bit or in any way. Because God honors you. God loves you. And God wants the best for you. Pastor Ricky had been speaking on John 14:16, I think it's been. And he says that, and God says that he'll send another comforter.
Mm-hmm.
The message calls another friend. And the message actually says that so you'll never be alone.
Yes.
I can't say that I know what you've gone through or what you're going through
or what days like today put you through. But what I can say is that God loves you. The Holy Spirit is there for you. He's here to comfort you and to hold you in those times where you miss your loved one, where you miss that spouse that was your everything. So don't be taken to a place where you don't need to go. He really, really does love you. And with God and with the Holy Spirit, you're absolutely never, ever alone. Heather had asked me to speak on that just briefly, and this is just how we're going to close, unless you have anything else. Mm-hmm. When we were doing OSL, I had the opportunity to speak on God's love every time we did it. It gives you when you read enough and you study enough of a subject, you have a deeper understanding. I don't know that before OSL I truly knew what the love of God was. I knew that He loved me. He sent His Son. You know all the things that come up, right? But God loves you personally so much that even if you were the only person that accepted Jesus, He felt it was worth it. He would have sent His Son just for you. If you're the only person in history, that's love. Because He loved the world and He cast the net out. But he would have been sad, would have been grieved, if the only fish that came up was you in that net. But angels still would have rejoiced. Amen. And He would have grabbed your neck and just loved you, hugged you. That's the love of God. Everything that He has ever done and created has had not just the world in mind, but you in mind. You have to realize that God's love is personal. It's not generalized. It's not cheap. It's special. And it's yours alone. Until you realize that, you can't fathom God's true desires for you. It's really hard to grasp it. So with that, go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes. Have you experienced God's love? Maybe you have, and maybe you've kind of stepped away. God's always still right there with you. He's always loving you. But if you have stepped away or you've never had God's love and you want to accept that today, the free gift of Jesus, if that's you, pop your hand up really quick. Thank you for the hand. All right. Because that's what we're about. You can put your hand down. It's all about God's love. So as we stay that way, just with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, pray with me if you would. Father God, I thank You for Your love. I thank You for Your Son, Jesus. I believe today that You sent Him to bring me back to You, to wash me of my sins, so I can come to Your throne room and experience Your love in my life. I confess You now as Lord of my life, my decision maker, my leader, my comforter, my love. Father God, thank You that Your Son took my sins upon Himself so that I could be right with You. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. saying that prayer is the first part of being saved. Scripture says we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. But don't give up right there. Amen. You got to tell somebody. Yeah. You could walk up to Heather or I. You can, if that's the first time you said it, or if you're rededicating your life, once we're done, feel free. Come on up. Or find somebody that you've talked with in the church before and just say, I finally did it. I finally accepted Jesus. Amen. And explain that. And that's about it. Do you have anything else?
No.
Did you guys want... Okay. The pastors are going to go to the door and they are going to meet you.